Blog Talk Radio.
Where are you now when darkness seems to end? Where are you now when the world is crumbling? Oh, I hear you say, I hear you say, look up, child.
Trials, in the midst of your tribulations, do you still hear God calling you? You may say, well, Minister Vaughn, how do I know that it's Him calling me? Because in the midst of your troubles, when you're down in yourself and you're kicking yourself for all the mistakes that you made, you still feel a presence just saying, but you are loved, you are strong, you are hope, you have hope, you are not hopeless, you are still the head. You close your eyes and you can't get away from His presence. And He starts to show you a dream that He put down inside of you a long time ago that you've been suppressing because of all the things that you've been choosing to do or choosing to say and going the wrong way. But He says, it's still alive inside of you. I still have a way made for you. Look up, my child. I know the world is trying to condemn you. It feels like you're being bopped on the head with a planker, but I want you to know I'm still right here, patiently in line, waiting on you. And all you have to do is look up. It's to look up. Take your eyes off of your circumstances. Take your eyes off of the things that you have said. Take your eyes and ears off of the things that you wish you could have said. If I could have just said this, I didn't think of it. I should have said this.
I should have did this.
Well, that opportunity is just that. It's past. But it's your future. You're standing in your present. And God has gave you a gift in your present to take you into your future to a new level. You get another chance. So you got to go around that mountain one more time. But you're going to be prepared this time. Don't let it sneak up on you. It may come in a different form this time. It may try to upset you in a whole different way. But if you keep your eyes up, lift up your head yourself. If you take your hand and just kind of put it under your chin and push upwardly, your head will go up. And sometimes we get so down. Sometimes our circumstances pushes us down in a way that we don't even feel like lifting our head. The muscles in our neck don't seem like they want to move. And it looks like everybody that looks at you tells you, I told you so. I knew this would happen to you. What did you expect? You can't continue to live that life and not have consequences. All of those things are true. But you got to tell yourself also, but God. But God is still good. And God is still available to me. And God is still willing to forgive me of my sins. God is still able to bring me through this. God still has a plan for me. Yeah. I say all of those things while you're in the midst of your pit, because it's important. So important, my sisters and brothers, that you get that in your head, that you understand that it's more to you than where you're at right now. There's more listed on your plan. You ever saw a blueprint of a mansion, a blueprint of any tall, big building? It's many different facets. It's different, many different areas. It's many different layers. It's many different corners and curves. It's many different foundation levels. And it's so much that's going on. And so God has built you. Yes, you. I'm talking to you right now. He has set you up on a foundation. And even though that you have decided that I'm going to step down just for a minute to go over here, and I'm going to fill my temple up with this here, and I'm going to get all the things that I think are fun to do, and I'm going to do all of those things, and it builds up inside of you. And without repentance, now it's choking you out. That same thing enemy told you, this is the cool thing to do. That same thing that the enemy promised you. If you do this, you'll get all the recognition you want. Your name will be known. If you do this, if you say that, if you go here, and now you're there, now you're there, now you're there, now your name is known. Now your pockets are full, but you're empty. You feel like somebody's got the hand around your neck, and it's choking you out, and it's taking everything you've got to try to fake what the world is wanting you to be. And you say there's more to it. It's got to be more to it than this. I feel that it's more to it than this. The Holy Spirit is just showing you that. He's showing you that seed that is planted inside of you. He's showing you that you didn't follow the directions. So this is not going to operate in the way that you thought it was. That it is purposely for, it is purposed to work one way. But because of our choices. And Heavenly Father has gave us that option to choose day or night, good or bad, who we're going to serve. We're going to serve God or we're going to serve Satan. He's gave us those options. And sometimes because of what we choose at the time, like I said, it feels good. It feels good. The pleasure of sin can feel good for a moment. For a moment. Now your moment is over. But see, even for some of us, even when you was getting to your high point, even though you still heard the voice of the Lord directing you, this ain't right. This is not for you. This is not the way that you need to go. But okay. you decided to hold on to the lime in the limelight, and you decided, well, this is what I want, and I'm going to have money, and I'm going to get to buy this, and I'm going to get to flash this, and, you know, I'm going to be respected. And now you see that the respect is not really what you thought it was. They're still talking about you. They're still laughing at you. They're still telling lies on you. It's still blockages in your way. It's still other things in your way. And the pain and the hurt and the disappointment, because you're getting farther and farther away from Christ. And you've been separated by the sinful things, that behaviors that you are choosing to do. And so you're not feeling too good right now. You're feeling like you're about to, this close to death. And it's hard to get up every day and try to pretend to be one thing. And you know in your spirit what it is that you've been saying. You know in your spirit what you've been doing. You know in your spirit behind those closed doors the things that you've been thinking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I encourage you. You know, they say you have to come to a point in your life. And sometimes they call that road rock bottom. And we didn't mean to turn down rock bottom lane. We thought we was going up into the high mountains. We thought we was going into celebrities. We thought that we was going in the right a direction to get to the boulevard that, you know the name of it, everybody knows my name. Yeah. So we thought that we was turning down that I am somebody. But the great I am said that I am the beginning, I'm your middle, and I am your end. And you can't get happiness when you separate yourself from me. You can't buy happiness. I don't care how much money you may make. He said, all that you're trying to acquire, I already own. I am that. I am the great I am. And so he said, it's not so much that I don't want you to be in desperate need. I don't want you begging for anybody, because my word said that you're not going to have to beg. But I need you to follow my plans. That is my will that I have for you. I know the plans that I have for you. You think it's dull. You think that, oh, the world has told you, oh, it's nothing into that. It's dull. It's no fun in that. He said, but I know the plans I have for you. And these plans that I have for you, they are to prosper you. They are to give you sound mind and power. They are to give you my power, my strength. It's to take you to a place that nobody can reel you in and take you another direction. It's going to take you somewhere that you're going to be there and you're happy with there and you're settled with that. He said, that's my plan. Yeah. I am your creator. I am your father. I am your Abba Father. Follow me. So tonight, if you're burdened down, it seems like every day that you walk in your house, it's like a war zone. It's an argument about this, it's an argument about that, it's a disagreement on your job, it's a disagreement with the ones that you said were your friends for years, and now you're ready to throw that friendship away because you said, forget it. I don't want that headache. They showed me their true colors. God is wanting to remind you tonight that change comes from within. Change comes from within. You know, we sometimes take so much time trying to change everybody else around us. I'm going to change my spouse. My spouse should know how to make me happy. My spouse, I shouldn't have to tell my spouse. My spouse should know how to do this. The problem is you, baby girl. The problem is you. The problem is you, sir. When you change, see, the brokenness is inside of you. And it's nobody else's responsibility to come and pour themselves off into you and try to figure out where all the broken pieces need to be put back together. See, your spouse is not your creator. That's why I tell you all the time, You have to watch and make sure you are relational situated. You are ready to be in a relationship. Are you relational material? You can't jump into a relationship just because you got the outside all fixed up. We're going to talk to you tonight about what's in the inside. What's in the inside? What's in the inside? Because inside of you can be so broken that, yeah, someone is attracted to your outside. But if the inside is so broken, they'll spend a lifetime and you'll never be satisfied. They'll never be able to meet all of your needs. You will always be griping. You will always be complaining. You will always be pointing the finger at somebody else that's not doing their job and making you happy. That boss will not treat me right. So you switch that job and you go to another job. And before you know it, you have the same issues. Everywhere you go, you can go to just state to state. You can change jobs over and over again, and you'll find the same problem. But there comes a time that you got to get real with you. And in case you're not willing to do that, God has sent me to tell you the truth tonight. He's telling you, it's time for you to look inside. It's time for you to look at the common denominator. Because he doesn't want you feeling bad. He doesn't want you stressing yourself out with all the anger and all the bitterness and the crying and the grief. And you're grieving out everybody around you and they're walking on eggshells because of you. You. It's almost like you go into the woods and you see a wolf, a big bad wolf. And everybody tenses up and tries to get out of the way. You are that wolf. So many times. We're that big, bad wolf. And we look at ourselves in the mirror and we pretty ourselves up and we put on clothes that we think that we are some little delicate flower. And we're trying to fool everybody because we put a smile across our face every now and then. But I want you to know, until you can check you, until you can take it to Christ and let him know, I am broken inside. You know all about me. You know my ups, you know my downs. You know my faults, you know my victories. You know the things that every day that may get me upset, that I've got and a habit, and I think that I have a right now to be upset. I think that I have a right to point the finger and tell everybody else about what they're doing to get me upset. We live like that. Isn't that something? Maybe hearing it from somebody else, it'll really kind of strike a nerve. Maybe it won't settle in your spirit so easily. Maybe no one's told us that we're the big bad wolf in our family. That we're the big bad wolf on our jobs. And so maybe we don't understand why no one wants to be around us. Why everybody's trying and counting down days to get away from you. That wherever you go, there's trouble. So the commonality in this whole situation is you. Y-O-U. You. You're the one with the problem. You're the one that's got to go and check yourself and see what's going on. You're the one that's short on the edge. That fuse is too short. You're the one that God is trying to work on. Think about it. If you feel that way, what if your boss that you can't get along with? Maybe you're fellow employees that you can't get along with is always an excuse why you can't. I know that. Let's move those out of the way for a moment and look at it straight. Maybe that spouse that can't satisfy you, he or she just can't get it together. What if they thought the same way? If they took this message and started to ask God to change them and show them what it is that he sees on the inside, what's on the inside of us. And that God starts to change you, your spouse, your coworkers, your boss, your leader, your shepherd at your church, each and every one of us, changing us from the inside out. And whatever desires that God has for you, it'll start to attract your spirit. And so your desires will start to just match up with God's desires, and they're just, the puzzle pieces will just click together. We won't have to worry about pointing that finger at somebody, because there's only one finger that you can point out, but it's three more that's pointing back at the problem. You. When I say you, that's all of us. It's three more that's pointing back to us. That God wants us to shut our mouth sometimes and listen twice as much. When you get tired of listening on the right, turn to the left. And allow that ear to come in and do a little something-something. Because as much that wants to be said, it's nobody's responsibility to make your day. You got to decide that you're going to ask God, your creator, who made you, that whatever it is that's broken inside of you, to fix it. And then only then will you be able to receive what it is that your coworkers, your friends, your family, your spouse, your children is has to offer that will match together and click with now what God is doing inside of you. But when you're all messed up and broken up and shattered, the most you can offer is to tear somebody else down. Tear somebody else down. Look at the ones that you hang around. Look at the ones, the family, friends, the coworkers, the spouse. Look at them. Think back. Were they just like they are now when they came into the relationship? Or are they bending and bowing, trying to become what you think they should be? According to what would make you happy. If they were this, it would make, if they did this, it would make me happy. If they could say this, that would make me happy. If only my job would only understand this and that, that would make me happy and we would get along just fine. If only my kids would just do what I said and don't ask any questions, that would make who? Me happy. But these are individual people with individual thoughts and personalities. And if you are the parent in that relationship, you got work to do. It's never going to be a situation. See, that's what's wrong on the jobs. So you run your household that way. So now you go out to a job and you try to run the job that way, and people's like, who do you think you are, sir? No. No. And rightly so. But it's okay. We're going to give it to God. And I want to teach us tonight to how to give it to God, just how to look on the inside and see what's really going on the inside, of us. And so, you know, this is October. We're October 11th, 2020. And so this is the time that we are really seeing a lot of pumpkins everywhere. There's pumpkins on the right, pumpkins on the left. The pumpkins are different sizes, and they even may come in different colors, different shapes. So tonight, again, we're talking about what's on the inside. I am your moderator for tonight. I am Minister Von Dumas, out of sunny San Antonio. My ministry is the Word of God through the voice of Vaughn. It's the Word of God through the voice of Vaughn. And don't ever get it twisted. Any accolades here, they all go to God. It is all because of the Word of God that he's put inside of me. And he's trusting me to give his word, be his mouthpiece,
that if I open my mouth, he will speak to you and you and you and you. And that's what we're asking. But this time of year, we see pumpkins everywhere. I mean, many people like to turn them into jack-o'-lanterns by carving a funny or scary face. And, you know, carving a pumpkin can be a lot of fun. I did it a lot with my kids when they were smaller. And we would carve them, and some of the eyes that you see on some pumpkins that have been carved into jack-o'-lanterns, the eyes may be scary looking, some may be wide, some of the eyes may be very slanty, or the mouth may be different. Some of the pumpkins, the mouth people will carve where they look like they have teeth, and then others look like they're teeth, you know, toothless. You only see what would be the gum, I guess, you know. Or some of the pumpkins now even have the sad little mouth smile, upside down smile, like a frown carved into them. It's so many different things. They're all pumpkins. They're all pumpkins. But the variations can be many. Just like us. We're all human. But some of us are tall, some are short, some are thin, some are in between, some are fat. Some of us run swiftly and fast to our goals, and we knock them out and we get them done, and some of us are procrastinators. And we take our time, and we have to be reminded over and over again of where we're at and what our tasks are and to how to stay on task before we start to load up and pick up something different and pick up something different. And some of the things inside of us that really wears us down and gives us all the different diseases, and, you know, we can name a lot of them, stress-related diseases and, you know, to mess with our vital organs, and then they start to say, hold on, I can't do this anymore. You may be used to picking up all this sideline baggage, but I'm the one that you're asking to carry it. This is the heart maybe speaking. I can't do it anymore. And so the heart starts to tell you, I'm backing out of this deal. Or the liver starts to say, wait a minute, I tried to absorb the toxins and do this and put out what I need to, and it's just too much. And it could be the pancreas, and it's not producing the insulin fast enough because you're putting in so much sugar, and the sugar is just standing in the walls, in the hallways, and the door is supposed to be opening up to allow the sugar to go into the different places in the organs through the bloodstream and get rid of it and process it. But you're putting the sugar in such a fast pace that the sugar now is just backed up in the hallways. None of the doors are opening anymore to receive any of the waste or the sugar. So it's just in your bloodstream. And now it's to a point that you can't even see anymore. It's messing with your eyes. The eyes say, I'm out of this. The feet and the toes start to say, I can't even receive the circulation that I need to perform properly because of the choices that you're making, because of what we're putting on the inside of. On the inside. So we all may look different. Our colors may be different. We may be the same color, but our skin tone, if I touch my face, it may feel different from the way that yours do. Your face, the skin texture could be totally different, even though our color may be identical. But you can identify that we're both humans. And the same thing with pumpkins. Again, it can be fun to carve out a pumpkin. I was never very good at it, quite honestly. But we had so much fun just doing it. I remember one time I had them all set out, and I was going to, you know, I just knew my husband would be surprised when he came home, and he would see, you know, that we did our pumpkins, and he was looking forward to it, to see what we did. And the kids, when they came home, they were so excited. They was all over him. He was excited. He talked about the pumpkins. And then we went on the inside, and he just started laughing. I was like, what's so funny? He was like, what in the world happened to those pumpkins? What were you thinking when you carved that? Did the kids carve that? No, I did. That was my handiwork, right? But we had so much fun doing it. Have you ever made a jack-o'-lantern? Have you ever took out the time just to carve a pumpkin? Well, if you have, then you know what I'm talking about. You know that the first step in carving this pumpkin and making this jack-o'-lantern, you got to start by carving around the top, and you got to get that top off. Now, you could reuse that top later, but it's a purpose to it, because down inside of that pumpkin, you'll find some things there. So you know that the first step is to find just the right pumpkin. We talked about the variations. Remember, this can be kind of hard. It's almost like picking out that perfect Christmas tree. Because pumpkins, again, they are all very different. We talked about that they can be big or small, skinny or round, or even come in different colors. But all pumpkins have two things in common. And we talked about the commonality between human beings. Our skin texture may be different, our skin color, our sizes, where we came from, our beliefs. But we have things in common. We're all created by our God, and we are human beings. So with pumpkin, they also have two things in common. All pumpkins, regardless of size or color, they all have a tough outside. They all have a tough outside. If you can go to a pumpkin and you touch it and it's squishy and it goes all the way in and you feel your fingers, the hardness has left. But believe me, that same squishy pumpkin once started out with a hard outside. They all have hard outsides. And the second thing is they all have a slimy inside filled with seeds. A slimy inside filled with seeds. And you got to get that stuff out of there before you're going to be able to get this into this jack-o'-lantern that you're trying to get it to. But you got to go through the process of getting to it. And sometimes we as human beings, we don't like to go through the process. We just want to buy the pumpkin and let it, there we go. I'm going to snap my fingers and I want you to turn into this magical jack-o'-lantern. I just want it to be there. I don't want to go through any of the slime, any of the mess, any of the stickiness. I don't want to go through any of that. So I'm going to meet you. I'm going to tell you this is who I am. This is what I expect. And you can chase me around, whatever, but I'm never going to do anything to honor you. I'm never going to submit myself in any way. This, I'm not changing. I'm not meeting you halfway. I just want a perfect marriage. I just want the picket fence, the white picket fence, and the 2.5 kids, and the puppy, and whatever. That's what I want. I want to be the ruler. And I want everybody to bow down to me. And this is the way it is. Or it may be a situation where the God has have you in a situation that all of the finances that he's given you those to do certain things with, but we're thinking ahead of time. We get ahead of our time, and we start looking at the numbers and how much money we have coming in, and we think, whoa, I'm doing pretty good here. So we go out and we buy all of these big things, but that wasn't God's intent. He said, not yet. Not yet. I'm not saying that you'll never have it. But that's not what I want you to do with what I put in your hands now. But what I put in your hands now is for a different purpose. But somewhere deep on the inside, it keeps telling you, oh, you got to look good for the world. But you know you want that. Go get that. He said, but it's other things that you need to be doing right here, right now. There will come a time when you've taken care of all of these things that I'm processing you through now, that you'll have the funds and you'll be able to do those things that you think are so lavish and right now. But right now is not the time. But so we misuse and we just abuse whatever God puts in his hands. So we're not good stewards over what he puts in our hands. And so we can't find any happiness. So now we're mad about that. So now we've got another argument about that. We're not good stewards of what he puts in our hands. And if someone tries to tell you about it, we're just like, you know, oh, they're just jealous. We're jealous of your anger. We're jealous of your pain. maybe it's just an answer to a prayer that you've been praying. God, what am I doing wrong? God is just sending you an answer. And you say, no, 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 that's not the answer I'm looking for. God, what am I doing wrong? Get them out of my face and give me somebody else that's going to give me the answer that I'm looking for. So you might as well just look in the mirror and answer yourself. Because for some of us, I don't care what it is and who God sends and how it is presented to us, if it is not exactly what you want to hear, you're going to reject and hear it. So you're just going to keep going around that same mountain, and it's going to get worse, and you could get other people entangled into your mess until finally, in some cases, when you finally, your head spins for so long and you get a chance to stop, you look around and there's no one left but you. Because everybody has got off of that roller coaster, and they decided, I can't do it anymore. Or you get to the point, you look down and your legs have given out. They're not in the game any longer. Your heart is no longer in the game. And now you've got all these medications trying to convince your heart to come on, work with me again. To convince your kidneys, come on, work with me again. Come on, come on now, come on. We got all these different things that we do to our temple, the inside of us. We put so much in here and we don't think about it. We think about, we let the flesh take control. Ooh, what does it taste like? What is it going to taste like? Ooh, that's good. So we don't stop and think, what will this do? Is this good for my body? Is this good for my temple? This is where I've invited the Holy Spirit to come and dwell. Is this good for me? Is this going to do me good or is this going to do me harm? Am I tricking myself and thinking just because of this tree? And so we get confused. We get so confused. We get so confused. But what's on the inside? So in some ways, we are just like pumpkins. In some ways, we're just like pumpkins. Remember the two things they have in common. They have a tough outside and a slimy inside filled with seeds. And you look at that little flat seed of a pumpkin seed, and you put it in the ground, and you water it in good soil, and you do all the things you're supposed to do. And somewhere along the way, it starts to grow root, and it starts to develop, and it comes out to this pumpkin, and this pumpkin continues to grow. And I've saw them, like I said, in many sizes and colors, and some are skinny, some are round, and all kind of different sizes and variations come from this little seed that you look like, how did all this slimy gunk get inside of here? It all came from this little seed. And all this slime and stuff, and we think it's unnecessary, but in order for this pumpkin to grow, it needed all of that slimy, yucky stuff inside of it. But there comes a time that it has to go. There comes a time that you have to get that yuck out. So just like a pumpkin, we have an outside and an inside. The outside is our body. It's the parts that we can see when we look in the mirror. The outside is the part that we try on stuff to stand in the mirror and we look at it and we turn to the side and we ask people, "How? What do you think?" Because the outside is where we want to look our best, because the outside is where we try so hard at working at impressing people. The outside, but we don't pay too much attention to the inside. So the other part of us, opposite of the outside, which we can't see, this other part, is our spirit and soul. See, these parts which make us who we are, cannot be seen with our natural eyes. But God, who made us, he can see past what we can see. He can see past what we can see. And he looks at every part of us. You see, we dress the outside up because we know that that's what man and woman is looking at, right? The outside. They are attracted to you generally by your outside. Sometimes someone will see you do something, and it can be over the phone, and
It can be the way that you speak and your personality and your behavior if they see you doing something that they're impressed with. But generally, once they see you, their outside can turn them off. Nah, that's not for me. That's not. I thought they would look one way when I met them. Nah, that's not. So we go through all of this rigmarole to fix up what man can see. But God looks farther than that. His eyes are deeper than that. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at your inside. He's looking at your spirit. He's looking at your soul, my sisters and brothers, past what man looks at. Psalms 139:1 tells us, it says, but the Bible says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast searched me and known me. He didn't say, thou hast looked for me, but he said, thou hast searched me. Every hair on your head, remember, is numbered. He knows them. He knows everything about us. He looks past all of the makeup, all of the Gucci, all of the clothes, the red bottoms. He looks past all of that. And he looks at your spirit. He looks at your soul. He searches you. And he's known you. He knows things about you that the ones that are around you have no idea. He knows you. He knows you. Psalms 139:1. And perhaps you should put that on a cardboard or a sticky or something and just index card. And just stick it up and remind yourself that the Lord searches you and he knows you. Better than you know yourself. He knows you. He knows your thoughts. He knows from beginning to ending. He knows all the middle components. He knows how this is going and how it's been, and he knows how it's going to all finish too. Yeah, he knows it. So what does God see when he looks inside of us? What does God see when he looks inside of us? You see, a pumpkin, again, is filled with that yucky, slimy pumpkin goo. Let's just say that. My kids never really wanted to do that part so much. They touched it and we, oh, and they did. Mommy, you clean that out. Yeah, that's you. Yeah, but you do that. We want to help with the other parts, right? But I know in order for us to get this jack-o'-lantern, the way that our intentions are, the way that we envision it to be, excuse me, I'm going to have to get down and dirty. I'm going to have to get off in this pumpkin and get all this yucky, slimy pumpkin goo out. So when God looks at you, when God looks at me, when God looks at us, he sees that we are filled with the bad things that we have done. Yes, he does. He sees that we are filled with the bad things that we have done. And these bad things are called sin. And you've heard the word, and you hear people talk about it. But he sees our sins. The sin is the bad things that we've done. The deeds that we've done, the bad thoughts that we've done. You said, I haven't robbed a bank. I haven't murdered anyone. I haven't stole from anyone. But what about the lies that you told? What about the lustful thoughts that you thought in your mind? What about the people that you mistreated because they didn't look like you? What about the things that God said give and you said, they look like to me, they're doing fine. Why would I need to give to them? No. What about the things that God says, I want you to prepare a table in the presence of your enemy? And you said, do you know what they said about me? They the one who scandalized and was talking about me. No, I'm not inviting them. That is the bad things that we do. These bad things are called sins. You see, as humans, we have a way that we want to make big sins and little sins, and what your sin is worse than mine.
But in the Bible, he tells us it's all sin. He says, how can you try to take the little splinter out of your sister or your brother's eye when you have a plank in your eye? You're full of sin. It's just because you think you haven't stolen. You think you haven't hurt anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But you're hurt by not doing what I told you to do. Somebody's praying, and I sent the answer in you. I put the answer inside of you, but you refuse to go give them the answer that they're praying for. They're waiting on me to get the answer to them, but you're refusing. But you say, I love you. You said, I am a child of God. You said, send me, I'll go. But we're not willing to go if it doesn't. No, that doesn't feel right. I don't think I'll do that. No, that's not my group of people. They don't look like me. They're not going to understand me. No, I'm not doing that. Oh, I may not be safe if I go over there. And I don't believe, God, that you're going to protect me by going over there. So I don't think you'll be sending me over there. No, send somebody else. I'm not going to go. Those are our sins. Those are the bad things that we do. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come into the world. We're born into a world of sin. So all of us must continuously do what? Repent. We have to have a repentant heart. It's not good enough for us to say, I'm sorry. Because I'm sorry, and then I can back up and do the right thing, the wrong thing over again, over and over again, and can probably be sorry about it over and over again. But when I repent, is I recognize that sin. I recognize that bad thing that I've done. And I recognize that I don't want to hurt you. I recognize that I don't want to be the one that's throwing the fiery dart at you. I recognize that I don't want to smile in your face and then stabbing you in the back. I recognize that that's too much, and I don't want to be a part of it. And I wash my hands of it, and I say, I'm out of that. And I ask for forgiveness, and I repent of that sin, and I ask my Father for forgiveness. I come to my sisters and brothers, and I say, you know what, I'm sorry about that. I was wrong. I was wrong. I wronged you. I was hurting, and you know hurt people are hurt people. Users like to use people. Abusers like to abuse people. And it goes on and on. But I repent of my sins. I repent of the bad things that I've done. Yes. And so I come to you, and I ask for forgiveness. And I go to my Father, and I repent of my sins. And he said, I will remove those sins from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I will throw them in the sea of forgetfulness. And I will remember them no more. And so when you meet me face to face one day and I open up the book of life, you will no longer find those bad things that you've done in there. Because they have been removed. They are covered by the blood of Jesus. They are covered. They are covered. So if all of us have sinned and all of us have come short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3:23, we all should be checking ourselves daily. And then it goes on to tell us that our sins are the bad things that we do. The bad things that we do separate us from God. And it keeps us out of heaven because we continue to do them. It's not that because we have did them, but when we truly recognize what we've done, and that's why some people just get comfortable in their sin. They get comfortable in murder, and they'll just continue to do it over and over again, and they'll say, I'm just trying to get you before you get me, or you could just get at it again. You could find yourself where something else to do, but those are choices. And you said, I'm so far gone, God couldn't use me. He's still waiting patiently in line. And I remind someone of that tonight. You haven't done so much that God has turned his back on you. He's still waiting patiently for you. You may be sitting in a prison cell right now. He's waiting for you. You may be out in the desert somewhere, fighting in a battle. He's waiting for you. You may be sitting in your mansion and hiding behind secrets. He's waiting for you. You've tried alcohol. You've tried other people. You've tried being promiscuous. You've tried running for office. You've tried getting education. And you got titles that's long enough to wrap around you like a belt, but you're still now, your sins are choking you out. And it's getting harder day by day to try to fake it until you make it. It's getting harder to get up and dress yourself up so you can try to pretend to be something that the world is expecting you to be. And little do they know that your sins are calling you out. Your sins are just clenching and making a difference, and it's just about to choke you out. And you're trying harder and harder and harder, but you seem to be going farther and farther in the wrong direction. He said, but you can come to me and you can repent of your sins, and I will forgive you. Because I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want you to be missed out. I want none to perish. And so that's why I sent my son. How can we be made clean? You know, just like we can scoop out that yucky inside of a pumpkin to make a jack-o'-lantern. It has to come out. It has to be removed. I got to do some stuff for the inside. I've got to get that out of there if I'm going to have a successful jack-o'-lantern. God can take away all of your sins inside of you and make you clean. He's got to get it all out, and it may not feel good. I know the pleasure of that sin felt pretty good when you was putting the alcohol in or you was putting the drugs in, and it may not feel good to try to get you away from it now, to get all of that out of you, but he's got to go back through the temple and try to clean up and polish up some of the things. And as you're going through the refinery, that's a fire. Before you come out on the other side that you're looking good and shining like silver or gold, you got to go through that fire. You got to go through that refinery, and that doesn't feel good. But the devil didn't tell you that. I know. I know when he told you to take that first hit of heroin, he didn't tell you that it was going to be like this at the end. Yeah, I know, I know, I know. I know when he told you to go ahead and start that office affair, he didn't tell you that all the things that you were going to lose and where you were going to be at and how regretful you would be. You know, I know, I know. And there's no taking it back. No, he didn't tell you that. He didn't tell you that. How you put others before your loved ones and your family, he didn't tell you that how that is really separating you from the love of God. No, mm-mm. And I know you have all the excuses of why. Yeah, I know. Let's just lay them down for them. They'll be right there. The enemy is going to be whispering for you to pick them up. Just tell him, hold on. I'm not for sure right now. I'm listening to something. I want to hear what God has to say. I've heard you now. I need the name of God, the word of God, to be spoken to me now. So just like we need to clean out the yuckiness of that pumpkin, God wants to clean out the yuckiness of our bad behavior, the sin inside of us, and he wants to make us clean. How can he do this? God loves you so much that as your sin separated you from him, even before you were even born, when the sins of Adam and Eve separated us from him, he said, I love you so much. I can't let you go like that. So I'm going to step down out of eternity, and I'm going to give you my best of the best of best. I'm going to give you me in the form of man. I'm going to give you my son, and he's going to come and bear your sin. So he's going to pick up all of your sins, and he has them all, and he's going to take them and dispose of them, that they will be remembered no more. Now, what we do is that we try to get them back. The enemy is trying to bargain with us to take that back. You know your father was an alcoholic. Take that habit back. It's yours. You have a right to have a drink. You have a right to have an angry demeanor. Look at all the things that happened to you. They just don't know what happened to you. Yeah, boo-boo. Mm. You have a right to live this lavish life, even though you should be doing something else right now. Yeah, yeah. So he tries to trick you into taking it back. But I want to tell you something. What you have in your hands right now, it may look like what it was. It may feel like it for a moment, but God's already taken it. Jesus has already taken that sin. So you got a counterfeit. You're getting drunk off a counterfeit liquor. You messing up a marriage off of something counterfeit. Then he's already taken. He's gave you the gift that you don't have to worry about it anymore. But you're loading yourself up. You're picking up his baggage and her baggage and the baggage of the world. And somebody on TV said one thing, you pick that baggage up and you're lugging it around and it's so heavy that you can't breathe. And you're ready to give up. You're ready to give up. It's just too much, too much. You said, I don't want to live in a world like this. I can't do it. And what we don't recognize is that those are your choices. It's you. You. You are your worst enemy. You are loading you down. You don't have to carry that around. See, our sins separate us from God. That's true. And so he sent Jesus Christ, his son. We're not long enough. We're not built in a way that we can reach that, cover that gap that our sin has separated us from God. And we're on this side and he's on this side. And we're not built to stretch over there and get in, and make our way back to him. No, we can't do it if we wanted to. We're not strong enough to throw our sins over to him. So Jesus Christ is that bridge. He came and his life as he walked here on earth, he was building a bridge for us. He is that bridge that gives us access back home, leads us back to home. It said our sins separate us from God and keeps us out of heaven. Well, Jesus takes our sins from us. No more separation. And then he's that bridge that leads us back to home. Leads us back to home. Jesus died on the cross to take away your sin. And then he rose back in life 3 days later. Now that's power. See, I need to hang out with somebody with that kind of power. I think it's so cool to be around a powerful, intelligent person. I think that's real nice. I like that. I like that. I like that. That's power. He died on the cross to take away my sins, to give me access to get back home to Heavenly Father, that I don't have to be separated. I can repent of my sins, not saying I'm sorry and da-da-da, I'm back into it tomorrow, but a true repentance while I turn from my wicked ways. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't stop there. He then gave me an example. He showed me what death was going to be like. He said, now here's the way that you get home. Let me show you that you ain't got to worry about death. I'm going to take the sting out of the death. I don't care what it looks like in the way that we die. It's okay. Know that we're absent of this body. We're already back home. We're present with the Lord. He said, I'm going to show you. So not only did he die on the cross and take away my sins, he then rose back to life 3 days later. Oh, I love that power. That proves that he is the Son of God and has the power to make us clean. He has the power to clean out and scoop out all the yucky insides of you. Anger, all the things that the psychologist can't figure out, all of the things that the world is just about to make you explode with all the things. All the things that has you confused, and you believe in one way this day and you're another way tomorrow, and I can say this and you can say that, and then before you know it, you don't know what to believe. God so loved the world that he gave, I love the that he gave to us, even before we were even able to give anything, he had already gave to us. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting hope, everlasting life, John 3:16. So that means it doesn't matter if you are you're making your peon and you're just barely making it, or if your paycheck is so big that it surprises you. It doesn't matter if you're driving a Pinto or if you're driving a Bentley. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, if you're red. It doesn't matter if you're big or small, tall or short, whosoever. He gave us a gift. The gift is his Son. And he said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's why you're feeling like that, because you're perishing. You're perishing. That's why you feel like it's no hope for me, because you're perishing. He said, but by the gift that I've given you, I present you a way back home. Welcome home, my child. I present you with everlasting life. You only got to die once. And my gift, oh, he's already showed you that it's okay. He died. But the only one that died and came back 3 days later, he rose again just to come and show you that it's okay. I even took the sting out of death. Even death is not going to be able to hold you down if you believe in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. You know, I heard a minister speak something, and I want to share it with you. And he was just speaking about that if you go to work every day, and, you know, that's what we do in this society, and you work your 40 hours a week, you work your 80 hours every 2 weeks or whatever it is, at the end of that week's period or 2 weeks period or once a month or how often you get paid, when you get your check, you never go to your employer and just, oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving me this check. And is it, you know, is there anything I can ever do for you to pay this back? I just thank you so much. No, we don't do that. But why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? Because we feel like we have earned it, right? We have worked for every one of those hours. And if I went over, I want the overtime on there too. Because what? I earned it. I earned it. Yeah. Now, you know, it's a different story if it's payday and they say, well, something's going on with the printer and we couldn't get the checks out or we couldn't get them deposited. Then that's when we turn it up a little bit, right? Well, I don't know what you need to do. I really don't need to hear about all of that. All I know is that my money better be where it needs to be to me before I leave here today, right? But we don't go to them thanking them for giving us what we have earned. However, if we're just sitting at home or we're just walking down the street and someone walks up to us and they say, Minister Vaughn, and they give me a paycheck for whatever amount that it is, and they said, I want you to have this. And I look at that. At that point, I haven't done anything to earn that. That's a gift that has been given unto me. At that point, I would show my appreciation. Yeah. I would have gratitude. Yes. I would want them to know that I thank you. Wow. I would be overwhelmed. I would be in awe that someone wanted me to have this gift. That's what Jesus Christ is to us. He's that gift. He's that free gift. You didn't do anything to earn it. You can't make enough money to earn it. You can't earn enough degrees to earn it. You can't be nice enough to earn it. It is a free gift. He died on the cross as a free gift for you. He took away your sins as a free gift to you. And then he rose back in 3 days back to life in 3 days as a free gift to you, to prove to you that he is the Son of God, to prove to you that he is all powerful, and he wants to share that power as a gift to you, to prove to you that his Father, your Abba Father, that he loves you as a part of this creation in this world so much that he has given the best of the best, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why the enemy is so busy trying to get you not to believe in him, because he don't want you to accept the true gift. He don't want you to accept this present that has been given unto you, that can change your whole future, that can rectify some things out of your past that's been weighing you down and pulling you down into to that guilty pit, that can get you up off of that and let you understand some of the things that you've been through, that will use even those negative things that you've been through and turn it around and mix it together, because you love the Lord and you've been called by his name for his purpose. And he will bring some sunshine out of your darkness. Mm. Yes. He will take all of those things and take your ashes that looks like it was just everything you had was crumbling before you. He'll turn that those ashes into something beautiful. But the enemy is busy trying to get you to give up your gift. He know he can't use it. But he don't want you to use it either. He don't want you to believe it either. Because he know that's all you need. It's that whosoever. That means you. We're in that whosoever. Just like pumpkins. We may differ in the way we look. Even in the way that we speak. But we don't differ for the point that we're all created by one Heavenly Father. We're human beings. We are his beloved children. We are his creation. So, as I close, what's the next step? What's the next step, you may say, Minister Vaughn? I'm hanging with you. I got you thus far. Let's take it a little farther. What's the next step? Romans 10 and 9 teaches us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and then shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay, well, let's do it again. So this means that all you need to do is, first of all, admit to God that you are a sinner. You're born into sin. There's so many things that even in this day and time, it gets worse moment by moment. There's so many things that wants to pull us into sin. It said that the pleasures of sin feels good. It feels good for a moment. For a moment. That high is good for a moment. See, that's why you got to keep returning to that. That dog returning to his own vomit. Every time you return back to that sin, it's just like lapping up your own vomit over and over again. Because it feels good for a moment. You're looking for that good feeling again, and you'll never find it. And see, the enemy doesn't tell you at the beginning that you're going to be laying up somewhere with nothing, in a straitjacket, locked up in some room, don't even know who you are, can't keep your thoughts together, have lost everything that was once important to you. He doesn't show you that. He doesn't tell you that. I know. I know you were tricked. I knew you were tricked. In our next study, we're going to talk about trick or treat. I know he's tricked you, but it's time for you to turn around and receive a treat from the Lord. Admit to God that you are a sinner. Sometimes the enemy's voice just keeps on yelling at us. What are they doing? She's calling your name. She's calling you a sinner. You don't have to accept that. I need you to be bigger than what it is. I need you to start taking control over your spirit, control over your flesh, making your flesh sit down. You get the word of God inside of you. And when it gets to that powerful that it keeps telling you, you know you need a drink right now. You know you need to go get in this here, this bed, defile this marital bed, forget that. Get in their relationship. Look at him. Look at her. How can you not want some of that? When he starts talking to you like that, I know you're full, but go eat again. Eat again, gluttony. When he starts talking, get out of the situation. Move out of the room. Take yourself out of that situation. Take yourself out of there. Get some word inside of you. If you don't have the word of God inside of you, just start calling his name Jesus. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. So admit to God that you are a sinner. And then believe that God gave you a gift, his son Jesus, and that Jesus died for you and he rose again as a gift to you. Nothing you did, you can't earn it. You said it, but I'm a nice person. You can't be nice or not. You got to admit to God that you're a sinner. You got to believe that Jesus died for you and rose again. And then you got to ask God to save you and trust that he will. You got to ask God to save you and trust that he will. He will sustain you. He will save you from the pit that you put yourself in. You've dug yourself in. And baby girl, you're going to lower and lower. It's like a sinkhole. And you can't get out of there by yourself. You're stuck. Mister, I know you tried to hide this thing and forever it was working. You thought. But now it's all kind of falling through. And a little bit here and a little bit there, and you're running and you're trying to cover it up, but it's all coming apart, and it's nothing. I tell you right now, I don't care what you do. It's nothing you're going to be able to do to stop it. You need God's help. You need to ask God to save you. And then you got to trust that he will. Even though around you, your flesh may still be telling you, you know you need to do this. You know I need this. I need it. Pull yourself away from there. Have some accountability partner you can talk to. Get out of that situation and start taking it to God. Quoting God's word back to him. Because his word said, I can never take my word back to you. It'll never be void. If I said it, I mean it. It will always be true. So you can speak my word back to me is what the Lord is saying. Or just call his name. If you can't do nothing else, just call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, save me. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I believe that you died for me and that you rose again for me. Hallelujah. I am your child, God. So admit to God that you are a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for you and rose again. And ask God to save you and trust that he will. And when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, as I close, as you put your trust in Jesus Christ, God takes away your sin. He takes away your sin. Just like in the pumpkin, you had to scoop all of that yucky insides out of that pumpkin. Why were we doing that? If you're building a jack-o'-lantern, why are we scooping all of that out? Why not just leave it in there? Because I got to put a light off in that pumpkin now. And my light won't burn with all that yucky, yucky stuff inside of there, that gooey stuff. My light won't burn. It'll snuff out my light. It'll snuff out all the goodness that I'm trying to show the world with this light. All of that yucky stuff that you got inside of you, that bad behavior, that bad temper, that bad language, all of that has to fade away. It needs to be taken away. Because when God takes away your sin, he makes you a new person. He makes you a new person. according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so in that new creation, that new person that he makes you, that means when your sisters and your brothers try to bring up all of the things you did in the past, oh, Minister Vaughn, I remember when you used to have a cigarette between your fingertips. Sure did, for years that monkey was on my back. Huh, you ain't got, I'm not even embarrassed for you to tell it because I tell it. That's a part of my mess that I was in. That was a part of my mess that I was in. But see, God gets all the glory because he took that mess and he shook it together and he made something out of it and gave me a message to come and tell the world that what he did for me, he can do for you. How he set me free, he can set you free. I'm not embarrassed that you tell anything that you saw me do because that's in my past. I tell it. Amen? Because I'm over that. God has took me out of, he pulled me out of my quicksand. And he set me on the true foundation that I can repent of my sins daily. I can check myself out doing a self-inventory. I'm not going to lie to myself. I check myself, Vaughn, did you do this here today? This is a part of what you had said here. I know God told you to do this. And I said later, oh, I'm going to do it, God, later. And later starts to build up and later never gets to us. And before you knew it, we're choking again. Because all of the things and the assignments that God has given us, we've put it over to the later side. And that lane has got so full that you can't even get in. The traffic is so thick in later land. And so now you feel choked again. You're choked again. And you feel like, where do I start? It's overwhelming. Where do I get back on track at? Don't worry about it. You give it to God and you let him know. Confess of your sins. Repent of your sin. God, put me back on track again. So when he takes away your sins, he makes you a new person. He also puts his light in you. He puts his light in you so you can shine brightly for Jesus. Just like I clean out that, scoop out that mushy gunk out of the pumpkin and I put my light in it. And so you can see it even from the street, this pumpkin. If it's just sitting there, you may not notice what it is. But this light, huh, you know what's going on. That's a beautiful pumpkin. Look at the light inside of the pumpkin. A pumpkin has got its light. God, when he cleans you up, he puts his light in you so you can shine brightly for Jesus. So you can shine brightly for Jesus. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, Matthew 5:16. So don't you be embarrassed about your light. And yeah, when you walk into the room, you're right, everybody is looking at you because they see your light. They see your anointing. They see your glow. You see, you may not even recognize it. You've been praying for it, but you may not even recognize it. You ever been around somebody and you can't even really tell that they're growing. But somebody who don't see them all the time, they look and say, whoa, look how you've grown. Look how much weight you've lost. Look how much weight you gained. Look how much older you look. Look how much, you know, whatever it is. And so, yeah, they're looking at you. Don't you be ashamed of your light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. When they start to give you the praise, look what you done. I remember when you were a crackhead. Now, this ain't nothing that I could have did. I remember you, too, was a crackhead. How'd you know I was in a crack house unless you was in there? You ain't got to go there with them because they may have been was in there with you, but you ain't got to go there. God knows. But you remind them, God took me out of there, and look what God did. You want to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You said, oh, Minister Vaughn, I ain't never did crack. Well, I haven't either, praise the Lord. But I have sins. We all have our own sins. Whatever my sin is. You know, again, we like to categorize our sins. Big sin, little sin. But sin is sin. It all separates us from God. It all separates us from God. Jesus came and he took all of our sins that we can repent of them. But when we start thinking, oh, I'm not as bad as that person, then we hold on to our sins. And it starts to build up on the inside of us until it chokes us out. To the heart said, I'm not playing your game with you. I'm through. I'm out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't live without a heart. To your kidney said, forget that. I'm through. I'm not doing it anymore. Your spleen, all of your organs decide to just check out on you. You know what? The toes say, I can't even receive what I need to. You know what? Amputate me. Take me off. I can't even receive the nourishment because of your decision. Mm-hmm. So let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works. Don't let nobody look down on you because they have their sins too. Glorify your Father. And when you start holding on to your sin, you're going to choke out. You're going to lose. It separates you from Father God. You have the ability right now to repent of your sin. That option is for you. Our scriptures tonight in review. What's inside of you? Our scriptures came from Psalms 139 and 1. Romans 3:23, John 3:16, Romans 10:9, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and Matthew 5:16. I am your moderator for tonight. This is the Word of God through the voice of Vaughn. I am Minister Vaughn Dumas out of sunny San Antonio, and I remind you, check out what's going on the inside of you. All right. Well, God bless you and keep you until we meet again. Just remember, whatever is going on around you, it may be a lot of things, and you may get confused, but know that God is God. Know that God is God. Whatever it is, don't get so confused that people start telling you, you know, you really shouldn't even believe that. Jesus came and he bore your sin. Come on now. He rose again in 3 days. Make it so certain. You know your name and nobody can tell you any different. So don't allow somebody to call you out of your name so you get comfortable with it. That's not who you are. Okay? That's not who you are. So don't pretend like you are who they say you are. But always know that he is God. I leave you with this. I know, not that I think, I know that you're God and he loves me. See you next time. Here we go.
But you don't answer all my questions. You hear me when I speak. You don't keep my heart from breaking. And when it does, you weep with me. You're so close that I can feel you when I've lost the words to pray.
Yeah.
And though my eyes have never seen you, I've seen enough to say. I know that you are good. I know that you are kind. I know that you are so much more than what I leave behind. I know that I am loved. I know that I am saved. Even in the fire, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I know that you are good. I don't understand the sorrow, but you're calm within the storm. Sometimes this weight is overwhelming, but I don't carry it alone. You're still close when I can't feel you. I don't have to be afraid. Though my eyes have never seen you, I've seen enough to say I know that you are good.
God bless you. I love you, and God loves you more than the word of God through the voice of Vaughn. See you next time. Bye-bye.